I never really was quite sure how township level policies affect me.
Right.
And, you know, there's always this focus on like national level politics and even state level politics, but I don't know on a day-to-day basis what it is that a mayor or, you know, a school board does for me, especially now that I'm a homeowner.
Is Oleg Dulin. I live in East Brunswick. I lived here for 13 years now. Prior to that, we had a condo in Kendall Park. And I guess prior to that, I'm from Staten Island, and going too far back becomes too complicated. Maybe it's a story for another time. And I have my friend Mike Vannucci. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Hi, my name is Mike Vannucci. I'm a new resident to East Brunswick. We just bought a house here in May of 2021. Before that, I've lived all over New Jersey. I grew up in Middletown, New Jersey, and then I went to Rutgers and ended up just picking Middlesex County as my home. So I've been here a while, just not in East Brunswick specifically, but yeah, we were loving the town, and yeah, that's my story.
So as a New Jersey man, what music do you listen to?
You know what? I know I have to say Bruce Springsteen. I know that's one of the rules. They'll run me out on a train if I say I don't listen to Bruce Springsteen, but
I
was on the radio, whatever my wife picks. I'm not actually terribly picky on that stuff.
I recently discovered that Queen Latifah is considered New Jersey music. So you don't have to say you're listening to Bruce Springsteen. You can say Whitney Houston or Queen Latifah, you know.
I could also say John Bon Jovi. I think he's from Sayreville, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot John Bon Jovi. All right, So the idea behind this podcast is to offer insight into local politics and local happenings. I found that, I worked at the polls three times already. I started in 2020. What I found was that a lot of voters don't know who they're voting for in local elections. Some don't vote at all. They'll vote for the president or they'll vote for governor, but they don't know who any of the local politicians are. And actually, I was like that prior to maybe 2019, 2020. I had no idea who any of these people are. So the idea behind this podcast is to have an outlet where we can have local politicians, local administrators, maybe business owners, various volunteers who are involved in the community, come tell us their story, what they're working on, how it impacts us. It's going to be mostly East Brunswick, but maybe some surrounding towns will find it interesting as well.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, Oleg, in the sense that I've grown up in this area in New Jersey, and, you know, I really couldn't tell you a lot about what, hang on. I really couldn't tell you a lot about what it is that, you know, goes on in terms of local politics and, you know, what it is that my mayors or, you know, school board members or local representatives actually do. So this is as much an education for me, you know, to really learn about, you know, what is it that's going on, you know, when we elect people and they do the work. And, you know, so this is as much an education for me as it is for you, the listener.
Right. So, one interesting thing about local politicians is they're all volunteers. They're all people like us. They're all on unpaid positions. They're underappreciated for the most part. These are people who are trying to do something good for society and for their community. But they're sometimes on the receiving end of criticism and abuse, but they're all volunteers. So it's as much on the community to be involved as it is on the candidates and politicians.
And I assume it's a bit of a thankless job at a certain point because, if you look back even in this last year or two with all this COVID stuff, especially, these are the people out there who are, trying to help keep their communities safe and do
Right.
what's right and, make sure that we all can, have a voice and the roads are fixed or something like that. It's as much, like you said, like they're volunteers and they're just trying to help out their community. And this is, an incredibly important job. If we didn't have people making these policies, I mean, if we don't pick people that match with our ideas of what, how towns should be run, then somebody else is going to pick, and that may not work out for you. So, or
Right.
that might not be something you agree with. And so at least, I think I like the idea of our podcast here because, it's helping us understand. Even if you as the listener go out there and still say, hey, you know what? I'm still not going to vote because I don't feel like I understand this enough, or it's not as important to me as national level politics, or politics just doesn't interest me at all, then at the very least, you have an idea of, what's going on. What are they doing to help your community? And why is it that they do what they do?
Right. So I know I'm going to skip a line in our outline that we made since we're talking about the elections. So this is the first election cycle, the off-year election cycle that I was paying close attention to in terms of turnout. Like I always went to vote, but this time because of my involvement was working at the polls. And volunteering, with local elections and helping candidates. This was a particularly close election. Usually this is a solid Democrat town, although you can't really say it. I mean, 10 years ago we had majority Republican town council, so I think the town is more representative of the state at large. But I think a lot what happened with this election compared to previous few cycles where Democrats won by like 20, 30%. Again, this goes to the idea behind this podcast. People didn't know who the candidate who the candidate was. And as a result, many people just went in and voted for the governor. Some people skipped the town. Actually, most people skipped voting for town council completely. Like, if you look at the data breakdown, what's interesting is that only 5% or so voted in person, and those were overwhelmingly Republican voters. But at the same time, the margin is pretty solid. In the town council candidate Dinesh Bihal won with 8% margin against David Herrera, and Denise Matford was the only challenger against three incumbents on the Board of Education. She was 6% behind the Barbara Rees, which had the she was the third, she came in third. So the numbers are pretty solid anyway, even though the election was close. But I'm telling you, like that election night and for the first couple of weeks, it was kind of it was unsettling for everybody, for both Democrats and for Republicans.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at some of the data here, we have something about 582,000 or 583,000 registered voters in the county, and only about a third of them came out to vote. So, I have to wonder when and at least in for East Brunswick, there was only something like 15,000 total votes for either of the township council positions. So, it's one of those things where you look at this and, us, the two of us as people who want to, make our town better, you look at these numbers and you say, you ask yourself, why is it that so few people voted? It's only about one third voted. And,
Yeah.
even if the numbers were solid for the candidates and, it's one of those things where you say, why is it that so few people are doing this? Why is it that, we don't have more involvement? And I really hope that with this podcast and with, talking to more people and, and in my position, getting more involved in, running, elections and participating in township events, that, I can do my part to help, increase that voter turnout.
Right. And the one thing I keep mentioning to people about how important local elections are, in Sayreville in 2020, the Democrat Victoria Kilpatrick won by 3 votes. Just three votes. If those three people, like it's like if you, me, and my wife, for example, didn't show up to vote, and this was 2020 in Sayreville, she would have lost. Or actually, it would have been even, right? And then they, right? Am I doing my math correctly? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a township of like 44,000 people. That means, that's one part in 10,000 was the deciding, what was the deciding factor, and it's really, really thin.
Yeah. So there was some interesting malfunctions on the election day, and you and I are both in software engineering. I think we can both appreciate what happened. I worked when I worked the polls in 2020. It was all provisional ballots. I never I was not involved with elections. With the old machines and old poll books. So I don't know how that went. But for primaries, they introduced the new voting machines, those big machines with touch screens. And those are fine. Those are actually great. And looks like they run Linux, I think, when you turn them on. They record votes on paper ballots. And at the end of the day, they print a paper tape and they record the everything also on a USB stick. So there's a ton of redundancy. I can't imagine how, like what can possibly be done to that machine. But what they introduced this year also was electronic poll books. And what's kind of funny is that those electronic poll books, they connect to the to a secure network, and they gave us AT&T hotspots that were pre-configured. And in a good chunk of locations in the state, those hotspots didn't have service. So like if
Jeez.
you yeah like if you imagine Hammarskjöld, the middle school where I was, I don't know if you've seen it. It's a steel and concrete building, like one of those modern looking ones, and it's basically a Faraday cage. Like once you're inside it, your cell phone doesn't work. So it was a fun morning. But luckily those electronic poll books are capable of working offline. So there are some features that are not available, but they're capable of working offline. Looks like they have all the data stored locally on the computers themselves, and they work. So like we opened polls at 6 a.m. I think by 8 we figured out that we got a call from the county that we can turn off the poll books. We can turn off the internet, the network. And then we were able, we had a fairly uneventful day after that.
Yeah, I don't know
And
about you, Oleg, but when it comes to stuff like elections, if they told us tomorrow that we had to go back completely to paper ballots or those old mechanical devices, honestly, I would be happier with it. I mean, it's, you know, both from a perspective of, you know, making how the tallying and stuff works very understandable, very, you know,
right.
Non-technical. I've often been of the opinion that there are some things where you really don't need to invent, you know, a fancy internet technological solution for it, because, you know, it works, and it just, why keep messing with it, you know? I can understand the advantages in some cases, but, you know, I look at stuff like that and I'm like, this would be a lot, you know, simpler if we just kept it to, you know, to an old style of things. But, you know, I'm glad it eventually worked.
Well, the voting machines themselves, like where you actually go and cast your ballot, they work the way you're describing. They print, you know, they let you use a touch screen, right? And it's like similar to what we had before, where you press a bunch of buttons. They print a paper ballot, so it is paper based in a way. It's just like what they do is, if something goes wrong, like the electronic tallies don't match up or there is a recount, they can look at the paper ballots. It really was the poll books, like when you come in and you say, you know, like you tell the poll worker your name, you know, those things are able to scan driver license, actually. And I, you know, in New Jersey, you're not supposed to ask for an ID, but when we had the long line, I was actually telling people that, hey, you don't have to, we're not asking for it, but it saves the poll worker, you know, a minute and a half of typing your name, you know, if you let them scan your driver license. So that's also interesting. You know, I mean, the reason they went to electronic poll books, the way I understand it, is because in order for them to allow mail-in and early voting, they needed to track who already voted and who didn't in basically real time, you know? So,
got it.
So they can't do it with the paper. That's why in 2020, because they wanted to have mail ballots, in 2020, everybody voted, either you vote by mail or you vote provisional. And, you know, that's why there was no in-person machine voting, because they couldn't tell, you know, whether you voted already or not.
Yeah,
or at
I mean,
least
so
that's
that
the way
sense.
I understand.
And to your point, it's, you know, it's nice to have that convenience factor with it, you know, of being able to show up and, you know, get the information really quickly. I just, you know, I'm glad that, you know, at least it prints something out and we still have the paper ballot there. I know there's so many people out there who are very untrusting of this, and they should be, you know. I would be, you know, I would want to have audits and be very skeptical of these things as well, but, you know, I can understand the convenience factor for that.
I mean, it was embarrassing. I admit, I'm like, for all the, you know, rumors and disinformation about the 2020 campaign, you would think that they would put effort into making this one go perfect, you know. It was kind of like, as a poll worker, and I'm glad I'm technical enough to figure out, oh, you know, I need to move this, you know, LTE hotspot around and put it by the window, you know. Like, I was able to figure some of that out. And on top of it, as a software engineer, I actually gave them feedback about the software and how it works. So, you know, like when it's connected to the internet, for example, not the internet, to their secure network, every button press is a synchronous call to their server. So if the network is slow, you can imagine how slow the software feels. But when it's offline, it's perfect, right? Because it's not talking to the network. So I told them, you know, I sent an email to our assemblyman Sterling, with the list of improvements for that software. But I hope I think they'll fix all that. This was first time they had the electronic poll books, and in the end it turned out okay. They had both Democrat and Republican challengers had full access to the polls, and even with the governor race that was fairly close, they didn't. You know, Jack Chiatarelli conceded. And his campaign and his lawyers didn't indicate any malfeasance or any discrepancies. They didn't ask for a recount. So in the end, it went well.
How was your Thanksgiving, by the way? I didn't even ask. We had my in-laws over, and we had a bunch of friends, and, you know, drank too much wine and ate too much food, and you know, just a good time. And I didn't have to drive anywhere, so I was happy.
Yeah, but this was actually first, Thanksgiving that we did in person with our extended family, maybe like 50 people. All the kids were there, all the elderly people, all the in-laws. Everybody is vaccinated. Everybody knows what to do, and God bless those rapid tests that we have. So whoever is in doubt or whoever feels that they might be more of a carrier than others. Like for example, I go to the office, and my kids go to school. My wife goes to her job. So we actually tested ourselves before leaving. But it was nice. It was like a normal Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's amazing how much those things that we used to really take for granted, just we feel it's so nice to finally have them feel a little bit closer to normal. Like we had a friend of ours who lives in Canada who flew down because she's here for the weekend, and we hadn't seen her in a while, and the international travel is a little bit trickier these days, but it was really nice to have something that just didn't feel like we were all trying to avoid contact or distancing or something like that. And, same with you, we're all vaccinated. We all got tested and stuff. And, it was really nice to not think about it for an evening and just have a good meal, hang out with your family, and just try to be normal for a couple hours. Like it was really good.
Yeah, and I feel like it's gonna, I think we're kind of entering the endemic phase of COVID-19. People know how to protect themselves, people know what to do. Like I looked at the numbers, like East Brunswick itself has like something like 94% of adults had at least one dose. Last I looked, like yesterday or a couple of days ago, and like 100% of people over 65 are vaccinated. So at least in our community, I think we might not be, this makes me think that cases shouldn't count anymore. Like with such a high vaccination rate, it's really hospitalizations that matter, but if the whole town is vaccinated, then a bunch of, and we get breakthrough cases and they're all mild, I mean, that it's really not that bad, So we might be entering that phase where we can just start moving on with our lives completely,
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, here's hoping, man. Cause
yeah, I mean, there's
I'd love to get back to, just doing certain things without having to think about it as much. So here's hoping.
Yep. So, all right. So, as I told you before we start recording, I spoke with a bunch of people that I know that I was helping with during the campaign season. There is a ton of interest in this, and I think we'll be able to get interesting people to come talk on this podcast. Maybe in a couple of weeks or so we can we can record and have a guest on with us. I'm going to have my daughter draw us a logo. She already volunteered. I mean, from technical standpoint, I'm gonna host it on AWS. There is no reason why I can't make my own RSS XML file. You know, it's really not that complicated.
Yeah, so, do what you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's and I get credits on AWS because I made an Alexa skill back in like 2014, and Amazon gives me credits for AWS resources as long as my skill is being used. So, you know.
Did you write something useful, or did you write something that's, annoying? Was this like, what did you actually give them?
Well, okay, I wrote a skill for Alexa that dispenses sarcastic jokes.
Like I said, something that's, silly and nothing serious.
No, nothing serious. I mean, I made that skill that dispenses sarcastic jokes. It is being used. A few people use it. They just ask their smart speaker, to dispense a joke, and it does it. I tried to make a skill, to remind, to keep track of when I fed my cat and didn't, but they, because Amazon, they test the skills. That particular skill was so buggy and they were so critical. I said, screw it. I don't have
time.
Wait,
you made a skill to remind you when to feed the cats?
No. It's okay. Here's a use case. I wake up early in the morning and I feed my cat, right? And then I go to work. A couple hours later, my wife wakes up and the cat is acting as if she hasn't been fed in years, right? So she feeds her again and the cat gets fat. And then the vet at the East Brunswick Animal Hospital actually yells at me for making my cat fat. So I made a skill, where I feed the cat and I tell, I don't want to say the word Alexa because it will wake up. Okay, I press mute button on it. And I say, Alexa, tell my cat I just fed her, right? and it would remember that. And then my wife would wake up and the cat is meowing and my wife would say, Alexa, is the cat fed? Alexa would say, yep, Oleg fed the cat 2 hours ago. So that was the idea. But I just didn't have time to fix the bugs they were reporting, so I gave up on it.
The bug is clearly the software itself. Clearly your cats do not appreciate being called out like this.
How
dare you interfere with their ability to get fed more times?
Right, exactly. And yeah, how dare you interfere with their skillful manipulation of humans in the house?
Exactly. That's right. That's their whole thing.
Right. All right, Mike. We're coming up on what, like 20 minutes or so. So I guess until next time, have a good weekend, and I'll process this recording and post it.
All right. Well, thank you. I mean, this sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And,
yeah,
I'm really
I agree.
Excited about this.
Yep, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's see how recording went. All right, Mike, I'll talk to you later.